My name is Joel Overall, and I am an English professor at Belmont University teaching a course called Writing with Sound.
My name is Doyun Ko. I'm an assistant professor at Belmont as well. I teach audio engineering technology. Specifically for this course is called Critical Listening for Audio Production.
And Doyun, his course is actually part of the major for audio engineering. So
yes,
one of the things we're doing is partnering our two courses together as a part of the Gen Ed requirement, a course called Learning Community Courses. And that means that two courses are partnered together, and there has to be a link between maybe one common assignment, and that's what we'd like to present to you today is the common assignment for both of our courses. Just a quick insight into our institution. Belmont is in Nashville, Tennessee, at the very top of Music Row, and we have about 8,000 students. Mm-hmm. That many of them major in music business, in audio engineering, in songwriting. Am I leaving anything out?
Entertainment industry study.
Yes. So there are quite a few music-related majors here that students take. And so this seems to have been a very popular learning community course for those students. So, Doyun, I'll let you talk a little bit about the common assignment that we have.
For this critical listening class, I've been teaching this class more than 4 years. Normally, we spend a lot of time on listening practice using those technical terms and technical quality evaluation tools. That was our normal critical listening class. But for this version of the class, which is learning community courses, we introduced a new concept of evaluating the sound quality, which is using a listening journal. The listening journal is about writing about the sound quality while they are listening to the music samples.
Right, and the music samples are important because it allows students to make objective evaluations using the technical language of audio engineering. But we're also asking them in these listening journals to make a subjective evaluation as well from a rhetorical perspective. For instance, many students might want to explain how a sound quality might make them feel, but the addition of a subjective analysis allows them to do that by adopting an audience perspective to explain the potential meanings of that sound or music. So, Doyun, what kind of technical language do students use in this listening journal?
They have to write about the timbral quality of the sound, and spatial quality of the sound, and the technical quality of the sound. They learn about those objective evaluation strategy during the course. They can perform the objective evaluation in different kind of assignment. But now for this assignment, they have to write about it using the proper descriptors, proper words, which was taught in critical listening course and Joel's sound writing course as well.
So let's hear a few examples of a few of these sound qualities. The first one is timbre, and this is an example of optimizing timbral qualities in the voice.
Yes, so we have the first sample has some timbral quality issues, which is a typical issue you can find in a recordings done in a small space. So let's hear it first.
The box was thrown beside the parked truck.
Wow, that was bad.
Right. If I explain in a technical term, there was a significant boost at around 1,000 hertz. So when you have too much 1,000 hertz energy in the audio, you get those kind of nasal, very canny sound quality in the voice. So in our critical listening class, our students have to train themselves to be able to hear those different timbral qualities. And specifically, they can distinguish those different frequencies to solve the problems. So after they recognize the problem at 1000 hertz, they can fix it. And this is the fixed version of the audio.
The box was thrown beside the parked truck.
Wow, that was better.
Right. So it cleaned up those nasal quality of the voice. The listeners may think it's not a huge deal, it's not a big difference, but you know, you can hear the quality difference between the before and after audio. The difference is that our students were able to hear the problem and they were able to fix that. So at the end, you get better program in your podcast and other media program.
So here we have two examples of different spatial qualities.
What you just heard was two drum hits, two snare hits with a different reverb time, right? As you heard, there is a big difference in spatial quality. The first one only had about 0.5 second reverb time, and the second one had about 2 seconds of reverb time. It's very long and wet. For creating audio programs, sometimes you have to add those spatial effect to create some sort of spatial dimension in your recordings. So we use those kind of digital processor to make it happen in the recording.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
So my question is, why would a student who's creating a podcast need to pay attention to the spatial qualities of the voice or whatever sound effects they have?
Right. There are different podcasts, of course. Sometimes it can be just dry and very direct sounding voice. But sometimes, such as for dramas and more dramatic stories, sometimes they want to add those special effects for effective deliveries. So depending on the programs, but if they know how to use those effects efficiently, their program could be much more interesting and could be much more effective.
So reverb is one way to actually either cut the confusion out. Let's say reverb is distracting the audience. They can learn to identify it and cut it out, mm-hmm. or they could actually use it as a part of the story, as
yes.
a part of creating the effect of what they're trying to say.
Yes, in fact, for musicians, it's been the acoustics or reverberation is known as a part of the instrument.
Mm-hmm.
So especially classical musicians, they always actually playing with the room, right? Not just their instrument, but their instrument is playing with the room. So it's a part of the story, part of the program. And I believe it's the same thing for the voice and dramas and radios and pop. So we have those examples, and students have to go over different samples. They have to memorize the quality of those samples, and we have a specific way to evaluate for each categories in our assignments. So that's what we do in critical listening class.
And this is something that we're both trying to assess and look at, and part of the purpose for assessment in this situation is to help me, a non-specialist in audio engineering, to learn to also listen with the students to understand some of those qualities that they should be listening for. So as we grade these together, I'm looking mm-hmm. forward to learning, but also using this as a scaffolding assignment that goes into my assignment. That assignment then is a group podcast and audio reflection. I am asking my students, the entire 25 student class, to come up with a theme for a podcast. And then they will split off into groups of two or three, since we're an odd number of students, in order to produce each in these smaller partnerships an episode of the podcast that ranges from 10 to 15 minutes. And this episode will also include a full transcript. In addition to this, students will individually be creating a 3 to 5 minute supplemental audio file that takes some 5 to 10 second excerpts from the podcast in order to do this same thing, to listen to what they've created, to talk about why perhaps they've left in a technical quality, something like reverb or, but to do this maybe in more so a rhetorical way or an intentional way to affect the story that's happening that they're reporting on. We're using Jessica Abel's book, Out on the Wire. As she and Ira Glass talk about in that book, they discuss the genre of podcast known as narrative journalism. And this is something that I think is very important to narrative journalism, and that is knowing how to use specific sound effects, how to manipulate the audio in certain ways, and rather than just say, okay, each of your groups needs to go out and find an audio engineering student at Belmont to help you, I'm asking them to engineer their own mix and to do it very intentionally as a part of the story. In the end, some of the takeaways that we have for this assignment. I'm very thankful to Duyen for allowing me to kind of piggyback on an assignment that's already well-oiled and something that the teachers in audio engineering do. But I think it's very important as sound studies scholars and also people who teach sound assignments or sound writing assignments to find ways to become more interdisciplinary, to borrow from fields like audio engineering or some of the other fields that we're looking at that deal with sound studies in order to provide students with that interdisciplinary experience that is necessary. In particular, our group of students, most of them want to be songwriters or audio engineers or something involving creative work. This, I think, is a very important assignment for them that helps combine the fields for them to be dynamic producers and creators and sound writers in their field.
What I learned from teaching this course for many years was that I can teach them to evaluate the sound quality objectively, but what I was feeling lacking is that the subjective evaluation part, which is about talking about the sound quality and express their feeling in writing and speaking. And I think this assignment, this combined assignment, will give them to think about those aspects and then develop their skills to convey their feelings and opinions in terms of the writing. So I think it's an interesting combination of the disciplines.